from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here. Rob is here as well. This is going to be a little bit different of a 5 o'clock hour than we usually have. Earlier today, we were joined by Jared Sandler. He covers the Rangers for both the television and radio side of it. We'll play what he had to say about Michael Lorenzen. If you also missed it, we had George Brett on the show earlier today. We'll play that conversation for you at 5:30. Want you guys to get a chance to hear what the 13-time All-Star George Brett had to say. We talked about the stadium, talked about baseball. He had a documentary recently come out on MLB Network. Always an honor to catch up with, I mean, one of the most important athletes in Kansas City sports history. So a lot to get into, a lot to talk about in this 5 o'clock hour. I would like to start with this. I had the opportunity to go out to the Royals game on Friday, and it was a really, really fun time. This season has been really important for me to kind of get back locked into baseball. There wasn't really a reason for us to be locked into baseball for the last couple of years. I really try to kind of schedule this show based off a very simple principle. I try to base this show off what I think you guys are really interested in with the combination of things I want to talk about. You guys were not interested in watching the Royals last year or really hearing conversations about the Royals. So it's been a little bit disjointed, disconnected from the Royals, I would say, the last couple of years with how they've played. I needed this season to get me back refocused and recentered on the Royals. And I've sort of rediscovered how fun it is to go out to baseball games. You know, you sit out there, you get some peanuts. Rob, you know I love to get me a nice quirk tall boy. I went out in right field, got the brisket nacho, and just the Royals played well. It was a beautiful night outside. Salvador Perez hits a home run. They're doing the hot dog derby, and there's fans, and there's excitement. After the game, there's fireworks. And you're like, man, you know what, man? Royals games are still a whole lot of fun. So I really enjoy going out there on Friday. But Rob, I also have to kind of hold in my other hand is like the left hand. It's how fun Friday was. The right hand is they could not have had a more Royals week than the one that they just had. They had, what, a 9-game homestand? They swept the White Sox, which is, if there's one thing we know the Royals can do, it is beat up on the White Sox. They have played 10 games against the White Sox. They have won 9 of them. That is a bad baseball team, and boy, do the Royals take a special joy in just pummeling on that team. They love it. The Royals had a chance to win the series against Arizona. They lost it. They had a chance to win the series against the Chicago Cubs. They lost it. The Royals this season are 9-1. Against the Chicago White Sox. They have played exactly 500 baseball against every other team in Major League Baseball. I only bring that up not to discredit or not to discount the Royals. It is an observation that today they play the White Sox. Tomorrow they play the White Sox. On Wednesday they play them, and that part of their season is over. There are no more White Sox games. If this team is going to make the postseason, they are going to have to do so by winning games like they should have on Wednesday. They're going to have to make the postseason winning games and winning series the way that they could have won this series against the Chicago Cubs. They have three games against the White Sox. They have four games against the Tigers, who could very much be trading their best player and best pitcher over the course of the next 23 hours or so. And you then have a very important home series against the Boston Red Sox. We've said this before, but this time it goes without saying. It is the most important series they've had since the World Series. There's no other way to put it. It is the most important series they have had at Kauffman Stadium since the World Series against the Red Sox. They are exactly one game up on the Boston Red Sox right now in the wild card standings. You got a chance to create great separation between you and them. You have a chance to give up your lead against them. Of consequence, it is the most important series they have had in 9 years next Monday. So a lot of the, eventually it's going to fall apart. None of that matters anymore with the Royals. We have seen over 100 games of Royals baseball this season. Once they get done with the White Sox, it is August 1st, and it is 2 months left. It is a sprint. It is a grind. You still got really important games against really important teams coming up. You still play Minnesota. You're behind them in the standings. You still have 7 games against the Cleveland Guardians. One of those series is Labor Day week here in Kansas City. So there are still a lot of really important series for this baseball team. And again, they are 9-1 against the White Sox. They are 500 against everybody else. If this team is going to do this, and it is very obtainable, it is right there for the Royals. They got to play good baseball for the next 60 days. And if you do that, they're hosting a wild card game at Kauffman Stadium. And if they don't, we will all pat the Royals on the back and tell them that they had a good season, and we will move on to the best football team in the world. But this team has a chance of making the postseason, and I want to see how they handle it the final 45, 60 days of the season.
It is fun that Royals baseball matters again. I'm Rick Carrington. In March, when the team took the field, we had conversations both on the air and off the air of, hey, can the Royals be competitive and plucky enough to get us to camp? That was the conversation we were having. We were having conversations about, hey, I would like to be in May and June and not having to come up with cheap hypotheticals or play cuts from OTAs because that's the only thing happening in town. We were just, get us to July was the mantra. Well, they have done that in spades. They have done more than that. And as much as me and the gentleman on the text line who every once in a while texts in and says, you guys are too harsh on the team sometimes, just enjoy the ride, I think it's a little bit disingenuous, but neither here nor there. I do think every once in a while we need to stop and realize, at this point last year, the Royals had 100 losses. They were trending toward 100 losses. They were out of sight, out of mind. They had their regular hot September, but no one cared. It was an empty stadium with players you've never heard of and Bobby Witt, and no one cared. And the fact that we are 24 hours away from the trade deadline and I don't have a text or a call lined up with J.J. Cooper to figure out what mid-level prospect the Royals are getting back in a trade the next couple of days is a huge win for the ball club and for the city. The fact that we now as a show are talking about how do we manage the Royals and the Chiefs, since they're both kind of in season right now, is a huge win for the Royals. So when you do take a step back and you realize they've done something really impressive, it is cool. But now it's time to finish the job. Like I always talk about, that fan expectation changes with winning. No fan on Wednesday is going to be like, you know what? If they finish with 85 and it's a step forward, I'm going to be elated. They would have been elated in March with that. They're not going to be elated anymore. You are holding a wild card spot. The expectation now is hold that wild card spot to the end. You're not going to win the World Series. Maybe you're out in the first round. I don't know what the future holds, but winning has changed the expectations in town. It is no longer time to be like, good job, fellas. You got better. Hold on to the winning ways. Don't fade down the stretch like that 0-3 team that me and you wax so poetically about.
I'm happy to have the conversation that you're talking about when the season is over. I'm happy to have that conversation when the season is over. I'm not willing to have that right now when you're in the middle of it. And if you, if this series against the White Sox goes how we think it is going to go, they will either have a 2 or possibly 3 game lead on the Boston Red Sox with around 58 games to go, and you play them again at Kauffman Stadium. If this team misses the postseason, now maybe injuries derail them. Let me knock on wood. Maybe that's what happens. If the Royals miss the playoffs, it will be because of their own doing. All of the teams of consequence are right there in front of you. You got Minnesota coming back to Kansas City. You got games against Boston. You got games against Cleveland. They're not even out of the division. Now, it's not likely that they're going to win the division. They're 6.5 games out with 2 months to go. But if you still got seven games against that team, you are not out of it. So I'm evaluating them like a team that what they have shown so far to me and everybody, they're a team that could make the postseason. So I'm grading you. This is a very simple pass or fail. At the end of the year, we can then give them a grade. Hey, I give this Royal season a B. Hey, I thought they were going to win 72 games, but they won 86 games. I'm happy to have that conversation in October when the ride is complete. But while we're in the middle of it, I'm holding the Royals to the same standard I will hold a professional team to. It is a simple pass or did you make the playoffs or did you not? There are 15 teams in the American League. 7 of them make the postseason. Can you be one of the 7? That's it. That's all I think we're asking the Royals to potentially be at the end of this thing. And I think they can do it. I'm really excited to see what the final 2 months of the season look like. You got to think the next time the Royals are at home, they got 2 games against the St. Louis Cardinals. Those are games they're going to do well. And they got 3 games against the team they are directly in front of for the wild card. So I don't want to hear about, hey, what are the promotions? And no, good baseball should get you out there. Important baseball should get you out to Kauffman Stadium. I've already been lining up my tickets to go out there for next week. I'm really excited to go out to Kauffman Stadium next week to see the Royals compete against the Red Sox and the Cardinals. All right, let me play for you. Just hit number one, and we'll make hit number one J.J. Pecola.
While you're stuck in traffic on your drive home, The Drive gets you caught up on the biggest sports stories in Kansas City and around the country. It's the hits only on The Drive, number one.
All right, hit number one, J.J. Pecola. He is the general manager for your Kansas City Royals. We'll play our conversation with George Brett coming up at 5:30. J.J. Pecola did a press conference earlier today. He talked about what the role could potentially be for new Royals reliever, new Royals pitcher, Michael Lorenzen.
Still to be determined. You know, we still have to get a handle on what's going on with Schreiber. We feel fine about Hunter Harvey, but we got to see how he feels today. But it's to be determined. We know he started this year. He's thrown in relief. He's filled both roles. So in a lot of ways, he is very, very good insurance for us, regardless of what his role. And we think it'll just play out in time.
I would consider the Michael Lorenzen move to be a low risk, medium reward kind of move. I don't think the Royals spent a lot. I've seen some frustration on the text line about the prospect that they've given up. Rob, you were telling me that one of the players that they gave up for one of these two trades is the 79th ranked prospect, or 36, excuse me. That's way better than that. My bad. The 36th ranked prospect for the Royals farm system on Fangraphs. You're not going to get me too heartbroken that they traded that individual. I'm sorry. I know I misspoke and said 70-something. 36. He's the 36th best prospect for the Royals, according to Fangraphs. I'm not going to be that torn up that he got traded today to go pick up a guy that you think can help you in the here and now. So you make a trade for Michael Lorenzen, a guy who can give you some innings out of the bullpen, a guy who could start and be your fifth starter if need be, a guy that you think can help you. This is the definition of a rental piece. He is a free agent at the end of the season. He is 32 years old. He has played for 4 different teams in each of the last 4 seasons. So this is not somebody that I think you should be overly excited about. I also don't think that we need to overly praise J.J. Pecola. They have a weakness on their team. They had modest means to go spend to try to address that. They've tried to do that with Hunter Harvey and Michael Lorenzen. So these are not knockdown great veterans that you are adding to the team, but you also didn't spend too much to go acquire each of these players. So you got a guy in Hunter Harvey that's going to be on the team for the next couple of seasons, and then you also traded a rental piece to see if he can help you down the stretch as you try to hold on to one of these wild card spots or potentially get yourself into the division conversation. JJ Piccolo also talked about the high price of relievers on the market. Here's what he said.
At least in our assessment of trades that have been made, there's been a lot of prospect value given up for players that either have a year of control or no control or 2 years of control. And we're trying to thread that needle. We're trying to be very realistic and add to this club and help this team achieve what they've worked so hard to achieve, and that's to be competitive and try to make the playoffs. And at the same time, we want to be very cognizant of our future. And some of the deals that have taken place, while we respect them, they were areas we wouldn't go. This was right in that sweet spot of what we were comfortable doing. And I think the versatility of Michael made it even more attractive. This fell right in where our comfort zone is.
He said a whole lot of words to basically tell you that this man was in their price range. That's what he told you. They had $30 to spend. They wanted to go to the game. Of course, you would like to sit lower. You want to sit lower, but you only got $30 to spend. So you know what? You better be prepared to sit in 415 row F. You're going to be at the game, and it could be a great game. But if you only got $30 to spend, you are not getting a premium seat at the game. That's the Royals. They wanted to go to the game. They went to the game. They just couldn't get the premium seats. The Cubs got a premium seat. Looks like the Mariners got a premium seat. They were willing to spend a little bit. Your budget wasn't like that. You got to wait till the next pay period for you to be able to get those good seats. Well, the trade deadline's tomorrow. You're kind of running out of time here. The Royals did something. We also think there's a chance that they could make another move tomorrow. I mean, the trade deadline is not today. It is tomorrow. It's tomorrow at 5 o'clock. So we'll see if the Royals make another move. But so far, they have made two moves to try to strengthen the bullpen. And we'll see if both of those moves work. I want to play one more cut for you guys, and then I want you guys to hear from Jared Sandler. He covers the Rangers. I want you guys to know the kind of player that the Royals got earlier today. Here is JJ Piccolo talking about the balance of you want to add something, but you don't want to overspend.
We've kind of set up our own guardrails, what we know we'll do and won't do, what players we won't trade. We've been very clear with clubs that there's some lines we're not going to cross. And we were very accepting of if nothing happened by the end of this deadline other than Hunter Harvey, that we had a team that could compete and can continue to compete through the end of the year. But that's a delicate balance. We know the clubhouse wants to improve the club. That's the nature of the game. So we're aware of that as well. But we have to do what's right for the organization, short term, but even more so long term. So it's kind of gone the way you would expect it to go. There's some tempting things out there that we stayed disciplined to what we think we need to do right now. And we were very accepting when a player went off the board that we didn't get him. You know, it was fine. As long as we were comfortable in passing on potential deals, we were fine with it. So, you like to add good players, there's no doubt. But that it may not always go your way.
That was JJ Piccolo earlier today responding to the move that the Royals have made. They have added Michael Lorenzen to the team. Earlier today, we caught up with Jared Sandler. He is the Rangers television and radio guy, to ask him what kind of player that the Royals are getting in return with Michael Lorenzen.
They signed him late in camp with the idea that he could be a swingman, a starter, reliever, depending on needs and health. And he just sort of ended up stabilizing the rotation and remaining in there. He's not a guy who strikes hitters out, and oddly this year, contrary to what he did last year, he's walked a ton of guys. That was not an issue for him last year, but of all pitchers who have 100 or more innings, he has the highest walk rate in baseball. And unfortunately, it's tough to work around that when you also don't miss bats. So he was signed late in camp. He was one of those pitchers not as high profile as Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery, but one of those pitchers who didn't get the type of offseason attention that he thought he would have or should have. And so he signed a 1-year deal. I think, you know, with the Royals, you know, whether it is as a starter or most likely as a reliever, he's a guy who can get ground balls. But if you're looking for someone to come into a game with runners on base to miss bats or to get swings and misses, that's just really not his game. It hasn't really ever been. And it certainly wasn't this year for the Rangers.
Jared, he's a guy that's bounced around a little bit in these last couple of years, played for the Angels, the Tigers, the Phillies, now with Texas. Why do you think he's had so much movement in the last 24 months?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, he was a two-way player before Ohtani. He obviously didn't do it as well as Ohtani, but like when he was with the Reds, he was playing the outfield a little bit, and he was pitching, and, you know, you just wonder if there was a little bit of delayed development to some degree until he really kind of fully locked in as a pitcher. But I think the other part of it is kind of what I just mentioned. We're in a place in baseball where evaluators, front office folks, coaches really value the ability to strike guys out and get swings and misses. And Michael Lorenzen just doesn't do that. And so even when he produces at a league average level, even he doesn't get valued the same way as maybe someone who produces a tick below him, but gets more strikeouts because people see more potential and more opportunity with that. So I think that has something to do with it. Now, last year he got traded by the Tigers to the Phillies because the Phillies identified him as a potential asset as they pushed towards and throughout the playoffs. So, you know, the change in team there was really something he earned by having a great first half with the Tigers, but unfortunately, he struggled with the Phillies afterwards. And again, it kind of goes back to, you know, in big moments against the toughest competition, if you're not able to miss bats, you're not able to put guys away with two strikes, teams tend to shy away from really committing long-term to you.
You mentioned how he performed so far this season and some of his ups and downs and struggles. He was in the All-Star game last year. Do you think, are you hopeful that he can get back to where he was last season when he pitched at an All-Star level?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. I don't know if he's that guy. He is a really high-end competitor, and I know that's a word, you know, being a competitor or whatever. I mean, these guys are professional athletes. Obviously, to some degree, they're all competitive. But I'll just give you an example. Michael Lorenzen's last outing with the Rangers was yesterday, and it followed less than 24 hours after he had a horrible start. He pitched on Saturday as a starter, went two-thirds of an inning. He didn't finish the first inning. And then the next day, yesterday, the Rangers starting pitcher, John Gray, got hurt during his warm-ups moments before he was about to throw his first pitch of the game. And so the Rangers had to go to the bullpen with their starter not even throwing a single pitch. And they were in a really tough spot. And so Michael Lorenzen went to Bruce Bochy, said, hey, I can cover. Let me get back out there. He didn't have to do that. He started the day before, even if he only pitched two-thirds of an inning. But he went back out through multiple innings and really helped the team. You know, I think he's a competitor, and obviously the Royals are playing in a high leverage situation, fighting for a playoff spot and hopefully getting back into the playoffs. And I don't think the moment will be too big for him. So in that situation, I don't think that's going to be an issue. It's just a matter of whether the stuff is good enough to get out in big moments.
How do you think he is best used going forward? Do you think he's maybe used as a spot starter, a guy that you could use for depth in the rotation? Do you think he can be a sixth-inning guy, a seventh-inning guy? If you're Matt Quatraro, manager of the Royals, how would you use Lorenzen down the stretch as the Royals push to try to grab a postseason spot?
Well, Carrington, I'll tell you this. One big development, one big step forward he took this year was his ability to get lefties out. As a right-handed pitcher, that had been a big challenge for him in the past, but he's got a really good changeup, and he is starting to throw it a lot more. That was one of the changes the Rangers wanted him to make, was to throw that pitch more, and that changeup has helped neutralize lefties. So he's not a guy you got to necessarily worry about too much, depending on, you know, if you got lefties or righties up. I don't know that I would put him in the eighth or ninth innings. Typically, you want swing and miss guys in those spots, and maybe even to some degree in the seventh inning. He is someone who can get ground balls, so maybe you bring him in as a reliever, kind of as a middle relief guy with an opportunity in ground ball situations to come in situationally. He can definitely start, though, right? He's not someone who I would expect the Royals to have starting a playoff game for them, but, you know, to get to 162 and guys get hurt or guys have to skip a start or whatever, he absolutely can fill a starting rotation role and give you a chance to win a game more often than not. What happened on Saturday was not really what the Rangers experience most often, which is, you know, he left the game putting the team in a bind. You know, he typically gave the team a chance to win. But, you know, I would say middle relief, long man, depth in the bullpen. He can kind of be a Swiss Army knife, but until he starts to get more swings and misses, he's probably not a guy that you'd want to put in the highest of leverage situations.
That is Jared Sandler joining us on the show. He does radio and TV for the Rangers. The newest member of the Royals is Michael Lorenzen. They have acquired the right-hander from the Rangers in exchange for Walter Pennington. Jared, great stuff today. Appreciate your insight. Thanks for the information.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
That was Jared Sandler, who covers the Texas Rangers. He covers them from the television side and the radio side. Just letting you guys know who the Royals got in a trade. Coming up on the other side, we're in a baseball mood today on the show. We got a chance to catch up with the Hall of Famer, one of the greatest players in Major League Baseball history, George Brett. We'll play the best of that for you next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the only place in Kansas City that gives you a random Royals lineup.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck. Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back into the show. Earlier today, we had the privilege to be joined by one of the most accomplished players in baseball history. He's a 13-time All-Star. He is an American League MVP. He is a batting champion in three separate decades. He was named to the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame with over 98% of the vote, which doesn't even seem like a realistic number. We are very happy earlier today to be joined by George Brett. If you want to hear the full conversation, you can do that on the podcast page, 610sports.com. Also, so the Odyssey app, but let's play the best of it for you. He recently did a podcast with Eric Hosmer and Mike Moustakas talking about his time as the hitting coach. We talked about how cool it is to see those guys' growth and maturity as he's seen them from prospects to now becoming grown men.
That was really a lot of fun. I mean, I knew those kids from the day they signed with the Royals to the day they left, and we're still good friends. And Eric went elsewhere to finish his career. Mike Moustakas went elsewhere to finish his career. And they were back in Kansas City for that 2015 reunion that they had at Union Station. They had it at Union Station. And I was there, and I think the next day I went and did a podcast with them and just reliving memories that I had with them. But I remember in 2013 when the Royals wanted me to become hitting coach, I told them I'd do it for a month. I ended up doing it for 2 months. And one of the reasons I quit, and it was kind of funny, I don't know if I brought it up in the podcast, but I know I've talked to them about it. One day I went to the cage, and they were all waiting in one cage to hit before a game. And I saw Moose, and I said, come on, Moose, I'll get you. He said, no, I'm going to wait for Pedro. I said, come on, Haas, I'll get you. No, I'm going to wait for Pedro. Come on, Salvi, come on to my cage. I'll throw it in. No, I'm going to wait for Pedro, and I quit the next day. You know, it was a lot of fun being their hitting coach, but I don't think we really hit it off that well. But now we can look back, laugh at it, and remain good friends. But we were not good friends when I was a hitting coach. I think they thought I was too tough on them.
Isn't that the whole thing, the whole give and take of being a player or coach? I'm sure you had coaches back in the day, and obviously you had Charlie Lau, who was very instrumental in your career, but I'm sure
Charlie,
you had pushback on guys.
Charlie was tough on me. He was really hard on me. If I wasn't doing things the way I should do, he didn't pat me on the back and said, oh, it's okay. He'd tell me to get my head out of my rear end and start doing it, you know, and yell at me. We'd go out and take batting practice at 3 o'clock on the road, 4 o'clock at home. And you know, if I wasn't doing it right, he would yell at me. So, you know, I don't mind being yelled at if I'm screwing up. And I remember one time there was an instance with Mike. It was kind of funny. Pedro and I were at one end of the dugout, and Mike hit probably the hardest ball he hit in a week. And it was a line drive right at the center fielder, his first at bat. Center fielder doesn't even move. He sticks his glove up, catches it. Mike comes back, throws his helmet, throws his batting gloves, puts a towel over his head in the other end of the dugout, just screaming bloody murder. And I go over and I go, Mike, what is your problem? You did your job. You hit the ball hard. That's all we ask. We want you to hit the ball hard. The more times you hit the ball hard, the more hits you're going to get. Relax. It's your first at bat. Relax. And he just got up, jumped down my throat like, yeah, all your hits always fell in, you know, and something like that. And that's when I knew my time was limited. I was the bad cop. Pedro Grifol was the good cop, and I lasted 2 months. And it was a fun 2 months, but I'd never been so happy in my life not to go to the ballpark the next day. I don't need that aggravation in my life at my age.
I want to ask you a couple of things that I've got the privilege to talk to Denny Matthews about over the last couple of weeks or so. Right now in Major League Baseball, there are only 10 hitters who are hitting over 300. When you played, it feels like it was 25, 30. You were obviously one of those individuals, won a batting title in three different decades. What does it say about baseball right now that there are so few players that are hitting over 300?
I can't even read a baseball article now. If I pulled up some article and they would talk about WR/4, I don't know what that means. I don't know who this war guy is. I don't know what, well, the big thing now is OPS, I think, and on base percentage plus slugging. You know, to me, a base hit is a base hit. Back then, everybody strived to hit 300, and that's how you were measured. Nobody even cares about that number anymore. They care about launch angle, velo, exit velo, and oppo. Those are the three things you hear more about than anything. And I would just that's one of the reasons why I think Bobby Witt is such a good player, because he's hitting 340. He's hitting 340. And when you hit 340, guess what? You're going to drive in a lot of runs. What's he driven in, 70? And when you hit 340, guess what? You're going to score a lot of runs. I think he scored like 80. So he's been, let's say he's responsible for 150 runs. Why? Because he's putting the ball in play. He's getting on base. And when you get on base with a guy on second and two outs and you hit a measly single, guess what? Your average will go up. And you'll drive in a run. And when you're on second base and a guy gets a base hit, you can score. So to me, the game's left me a little bit. I was just in Cooperstown 2 weeks ago for the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And I'm talking to the likes of Derek Jeter, and I'm talking to the likes of Mike Schmidt and Craig Biggio. That's who I sat and had dinner with on Sunday night. And believe me, they're losing the way baseball is played right now, they're losing some of the old-time players. Derek Jeter hasn't been retired that long, but the Mike Schmidts of the world and the Goose Gossages of the world and all those guys, they're losing that audience right now because of the way the game's played.
I want to ask you present-day questions about the Royals and Bobby Witt Jr. You talked about it a little bit. He now gets compared to you. People say that he is the best Royals player since Bobby Witt Jr. You've obviously seen him from the very beginning. I'm sure you guys have had some relationship over his time in Kansas City. What is it like to see him take that jump and become a superstar?
Really doesn't surprise me, to be honest with you. I mean, he's a five-tool guy. There's nothing he cannot do on the baseball field, plus playing a shortstop, the most demanding position on the field. It's just, I'm amazed every time I go to the ballpark. And, you know, we had Bo Jackson weekend about 3 weeks ago, and I made a comment, I never missed one of his at-bats. Well, I never miss one of Bobby's at-bats either. You know, I go to a lot of the games. Sometimes I leave early. But if Bobby Witt's coming up to bat in the bottom of the eighth inning in Kauffman Stadium, I'll stick around at least to watch him hit. He's an amazing athlete. He plays baseball, I think, the way I did. He runs everything out. He's always thinking about the next base. Obviously, I think he's a lot more talented than I am because of his speed and his arm, his accuracy, and the things that he can do, the power at such an early age. I didn't develop power till I was about 25, 26, but he's got power at 23. He had power last year at 22. But he's, in my opinion, one of the best players in baseball. And if the Royals can get hot, I know the last two games have been very disappointing, not only to me, but to the team and to the fans here in Kansas City, to lose two games the way we did to the Cubbies. But they got the White Sox coming up, and then they go to Detroit. They got to win the majority of those games, obviously, to get to put themselves in a chance. But if the Royals are in contention, they make the playoffs, I think Bobby Witt is a legitimate MVP candidate.
You mentioned this weekend.
Legitimate. I mean legitimate.
George, you mentioned this weekend against the Cubs. I'm just happy that the Royals matter. Like, I don't have to tell you how disappointing the last few years have been and how the Royals have been out of it for basically the entire year. I mean, we are heading into August, and if the playoffs started today, the Royals would be in the postseason. It's just exciting that every day, every game, every decision matters again for the Royals.
Yeah, last year was just a horrendous season for the whole team, you know, the whole organization. To win 56 games, lose 106. This year they've already won 57, and it's still July. I mean, that's one of the all-time great turnarounds in Major League Baseball history. Games do mean something. We're going to find out if these guys can play under pressure right now. And so far they've been able to do a pretty good job. But the schedules, you know, they got to – not an easy week ahead of them, but after that, I mean, they start playing the Philadelphia Phillies. They play some teams that are definitely in contention, and we're going to have to see how they do against those guys. But it has been a lot more fun. The conversations with people that I have about baseball last year was poor Royals. This year, everybody is so pumped up. Friends of mine at the Hall of Fame were going crazy. God, what a turnaround! What did they do? You know, and you tell them that, hey, we got Lugo, we got Waka, we got Cole Reagans, you know, and all those three pitchers, and Bobby. Everybody wants to talk about Bobby Witt, the guy that I still like, and even though he's been struggling with his bat as of late, he is hitting the ball decent, not scalding it. But I love Mikel Garcia. I think this guy's a really, really good player, and right now, he's a little frustrated, I think, with his batting average and things. But, I mean, I would not give up on this guy. I would play him every single day and see what he can do. I think next year he's going to be a big breakout season for him. And is it Bobby Witt numbers? No, but I think it could be close.
I've got two more questions right now. We're talking to George Brett. The first question is, it's always cool to go to the stadium, and in left field, you know, you see the Hall of Fame numbers. You see your number, Dick Houser, Frank White. One of these days, Salvador Perez's number is going to be up there right next to his. You mentioned the fact that you've been there for Hosmer and Moustakas from the very, very beginning. I mean, you probably met Salvador Perez when he was 16 years old, and even in his 30s, he's still one of the best and most important players in the game.
Yep, he is. He's unbelievable. Behind the plate, he's really good. He's having a great year offensively. And you know what? When you throw him at first base, he looks like he's been playing first base his whole life. I mean, this guy, the way Freddie Fermin's playing behind the plate, but we got a first baseman in Sasquatch. But you put Salvi out there to give Sasquatch a day off. I mean, it's you're not losing anything defensively, and yeah, I would be very surprised if Salvi's number's not retired by the time he ends his career in Kansas City. And there's talk right now. I mean, serious talk, and I think well-warranted talk about him going to Cooperstown, New York with the numbers that he's put up over his career.
If you want to hear our full conversation with George Brett, be sure to check out the podcast page. We talked for about 30 minutes today. Just always an honor to get a chance to talk to, I mean, one of the most important people in Kansas City sports history, for sure, is George Brett. Be sure to check out the full interview. Coming up on the other side, Marvel fans, I know you are excited. Rob claims to be the biggest Marvel fan that I know. He hasn't seen the number one movie in the country. And Rob, I've got some questions to really question your loyalty. Are you really true to this? Because you know what? You sound real bandwagon to me. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio, home of the hallowed title, Friend of the Show.
I'm very happy to be a friend of the show. It's always good to talk to you, man.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio. You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
Today, let me give you... You know what I'm going to do at the end of the show? I just determined this right now, just on the fly. This is unplanned. At the end of the of every show, I'm going to tell you what you should be watching tonight in the Olympics. How about that? Tonight, Rob, a couple of things that you might want to be tuned in for is we have men's gymnastics during primetime today on NBC. So if you want to watch the men's all around, be all around NBC around 7 o'clock. That's what I would encourage you to do. Have you been watching Gold Zone on Peacock?
You were telling me about that today. I have not ventured over there yet. Is it as good as Red Zone?
I mean, it's the same concept. I mean, they got Andrew Siciliano, so you know he's no stranger to it. And, yeah, they're just bouncing back and forth between all the things that are on the Olympics right now. So I would highly encourage you, if you are a Peacock subscriber, I would highly encourage you to check it out. But, Rob, that's not what I want to talk about. Deadpool and Wolverine, $211 million this weekend. It is the sixth largest debut in the history of the box office. These are the movies that had a better opening week. Avengers Endgame, Spider-Man, No Man Home, Avengers Infinity War, Star Wars, The Force Awakens, and Star Wars The Last Jedi. Those are the only movies that have done better in the opening week than Wolverine and Deadpool. You carry yourself like you're Mr. Marvel. It was cool to be Mr. Marvel when you guys were up Avengers Endgame and Infinity War. I'm sure you were the first one in the theater. Oh, wait, let me guess now. You got to celebrate your wife's birthday. That's what it is. How long has she been in your life? Has she been in your life as long as Captain America? Has she been in your life as long as Iron Man? I think not. How dare you choose your family over the film? You should have been in there Tuesday. You should have been to the early screening on Wednesday, Thursday at the latest. There was no reason for you to come into work Friday if you hadn't seen the number one movie in the country when they made this movie for you, Rob. Let me guess, you still haven't seen it, have you? You leave for your honeymoon, what?
Saturday. I will see it this week.
You leave the country in a couple of days. You're going to be gone all next week. Rob, out of here. Gone. And you still haven't seen it? I hope somebody spoils it for you. I want somebody on social media to send you the ending of the movie.
I do have plans to see it this week.
When?
Thursday night.
Okay.
Little programming note. We're off the air early on Thursday for the Royals on the East Coast. So slink over there. Go see some Deadpool and Wolverine. And then I can really lean into what I need to watch, which is all the stuff that transpired at Comic-Con. That's what I need to be watching. Comic-Con, the mecca for people like me.
Can I say something? And maybe I'm speaking out of turn because I don't know. And I can admit that. I'm going to give you an opinion even though I don't know. Feels like they're reaching a little bit. Marvel Universe ain't hitting the same. They got to go back to the plays that work. Jonathan Majors was supposed to be the villain for these upcoming Marvel movies. Who knows what he's out doing? And you had to figure something out. So what did you do? You had to call your most trusted play. Didn't they kill Robert Downey Jr. in the series? Now he can just come back? Doesn't he make sense?
I mean,
of all the people, they had to pick him?
It's a bold choice. It's not one I love. But it's if they can thread this needle, it's going to be a huge, huge success. But it's a very difficult needle to thread.
Wasn't he? He was a whole other character.
Yeah, so they've dipped their toe into the old multiverse world.
Here we go.
If you're Iron Man in one universe, you could feasibly be Doctor Doom in another universe. It, like I said, it's pretty nerdy and a difficult thing to navigate. And if it doesn't get the casuals on board,
feels
it's
like
not going
to
work.
Feels like a reach to
it
me.
It definitely feels reachish.
It feels like it's just over. You guys have had a great run in the Marvel Universe. You really have. You've had a great run in the Marvel Universe. You gave us a decade of movies. When you got to start doing this and you got come on now, it's over. He's Iron Man. Who do they want to make him now? Who is he going to be now?
Doctor Doom. He's the big bad in the next Avengers film. Because,
why don't they just bring Jonathan Majors back?
Well,
Robert Downey had his off the court demons too. They brought him back. How is his off the court demons any different than Jonathan Majors?
Well, they're moving away from Jonathan Majors. Jonathan Majors got his two moments in the sun.
No, he did. He had a great run. We're gonna spend a lot of time talking about 2022 for Jonathan Majors. He was next up.
And then it was over.
Then it was over.
And you could argue that his own actions made it.
100%. Who do you think was hotter? Jonathan Majors during that stretch or Glenn Powell right now?
Glenn Powell. Top Gun's... I love Marvel. Top Gun's...
Yeah, he was like the fourth person in that movie, though. He wasn't one of the guys, though. He wasn't Miles Teller.
Yeah, but has Miles Teller come out with stardom on the other end?
No.
Glenn Powell has.
He don't look like Glenn Powell. Glenn Powell just looked like a movie star.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Powell's going to be this generation's Matthew McConaughey.
Or it could be Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I got to see him do more action stuff, though. Tom.
I mean, Twister. I mean, it's not action.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Tom was Ethan Hunt, and he was Maverick. You know? That's not many people can say they've been two legendary, iconic action heroes like that. So I got to see Glenn Powell do a little bit more action movies. But every movie I've seen with Glenn Powell, I've liked. I liked Anyone But You. I thought that was a funny movie. I like Twisters.
Twisters was good. It's fun. It's nonsensical, but it's fun. We don't have enough movies that are just fun anymore. We review movies like it's Roger and Ebert every time. Ebert and Robert, excuse me.
All right, well, had a lot of fun today. Hopefully you guys had fun. Rob is only here for the next couple of days, and he's leaving us for a time because he's celebrating his... I mean, how many days off to get married does Rob need? Rob had days off before they get married. Now you need days off after they get married, bro. It's football season. When are you going to lock in? Because I ain't getting a lock in right now from you. When you come back from where are you guys going? Branson?
Jamaica.
Right next to Branson. They're right down the street from each other.
A lot of people call Branson the Jamaica of Missouri.
They're right next to each other. We'll catch you guys tomorrow. It's The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.